If you would, find the scripture, Romans 5:5. I love the new song that Logan is teaching us. My favorite two lines is, my heart needs a surgeon, my heart needs a friend. I love those two lines. Let's read this together. For this hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts and through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to you. And Lord, you will remind me today that you look at all of us, but you look at me differently, because I'm a teacher of your word, I'm your preacher, and with me is a great judgment, a more strict judgment than anybody here. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you here today. Between now and November the 24th, 24th is a day of investing of Joash Chest. Many of you all know that, and some of you are learning about it. I'm going to be reminding you about our discipleship culture, some things that help us go through what we go through here on this earth. And instead of speaking more to it, I want to move you into this. I picked today because hope in the Lord will never disappoint you. It will never disappoint you. Our hope is in Him, and we realize the truth of it for what we live in now and what is yet to come. Look at Romans 5, 1 through 5. I'm going to walk you through here to give you the setting of this. You're going to see a lot of scripture today. You're going to see that a lot of it has to do with suffering. These people who wrote in the New Testament are going to bring up suffering. Why do they do that? Because if you're going to live life, you're going to go through suffering. And we're going to deal with how we try to avoid that, how our hope is for the Lord now and for the future. We're going to try to be able to handle that together. Let's walk through these verses. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our faith, and then there's peace. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith. We're going to talk about grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation or suffering, difficult times, knowing that all tribulation or suffering does its work. It produces endurance or perseverance. It also, from perseverance, produces character. From character, it produces hope. In verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In Hebrews 11:1, it talks about how faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the evidence or the proof of what is not seen. Now, a long time ago, a number of sermons ago, I preached on when we live in Christ, we're dealing with the now and the not yet, all right? Tell me you remember that. Okay, do you remember when we preached on the now and the not yet? Where is our hope and our faith? It's for now, and then we look at the not yet. We look at the future. The Lord tells us over and over in His Word, set your mind on things above, not here. Set your minds on things that are heavenly, not earthly. And look at things that are permanent in Him and not temporary down here. He says that all the time. You'll be thinking about eternity, and you'll go, well, man, I shouldn't be thinking about eternity. I should be thinking about other things. No, you shouldn't. You should be thinking about eternity. Why? Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity where? Finish it, Joshua. You're nodding your head. Finish it. In our hearts. Where has God placed it? God has placed eternity in our hearts. You're going, hey, it's weird to think about the future. It is if you're an unbeliever. If you're a believer, we're always thinking about the not yet. So when we have hope in the Lord, it's not only for the now, it's also a time for the not yet. Hope here is described as a firm conviction. It's not a wish. It's not a star falling from the sky. It's not saying some kind of a mantra before you blow out the candle on the cake. It's not a penny in a whale. It's not breaking the wishbone of a chicken. I know that's a little weird, but I don't know about you, but if you raised on a farm, you've probably done that a time or two. So listen, we don't live our life in Christ with our fingers crossed. It's a firm conviction. Let me explain it to you this way. For those of us who have surrendered to the Lord and follow Him, we have already settled this in our hearts. It's not a struggle anymore. It has been settled. It is settled. I understand it. I know what's going on. I know what I've surrendered to, all the things that come with that. So it's our hope in the Lord is in the now, but it's also in the not yet, and it's a firm conviction that what God has promised us, we're going to be able to give it. And here comes the dilemma. This is where I become the teacher. There's hope in the Lord, and then there's human hope. Hope in the Lord, when we looked at those verses 1 through 5, it mentioned faith in the Lord. It mentioned peace, grace, hope. When there's suffering, there's perseverance. We endure it. We go through it. The key word there is through. It produces our character, and in our character, it produces hope. There's a progression. If you're a believer and you're going through tough times and you follow the Lord through this, the person that comes out at the end is not the person that went into it. There is an absolute progression of our life. There's a maturing that goes on in our life. Now, human hope is totally different. Human hope are things that we want, thinking it's going to have us a well-financed and a problem-free life. Let me tell you why I think our world is so angry. I mean, everybody's angry. I hope you're not, but everybody's angry. Just saw a third grade football coach choke another coach on the sideline. I mean, I'm like, goodness. You know, I mean, people just angry. What happens is we're angry. I think our nation's angry because we're not getting what I want. I'm going to say something here in a moment. If you throw a chair at me, just make sure it's a soft one, okay? Throw me a soft chair, not a hard chair. Here in America, everybody wants $1 million and no work. And the reason they want the wealth is because they think the wealth will do away with all the problems. We think it's problem-free. And we want to get places, and we want this stress-free, problem-free, suffering-free life. I'm going against the wishes of my English teacher and the editor in my doctoral program. Ain't going to happen. Okay? We try, like everything, to dodge the suffering of this world. You're going to suffer just because you're in this world. And when I handle these verses ahead of us, you're going to see the word suffering brought up all the time. That as a believer, we don't dodge it. We go through it. And we go through it, and it changes us. We endure. It changes our character. It changes our hope of all that happens. So human hope is totally different. Human hope, when you don't get what you want, you're disappointed. You're discouraged. You'll lack character. Hang on. You're going, how does that work? Because if you want it bad enough, you'll do anything to get it. Did y'all hear that? You'll do anything to get it. I mean, it will degrade you into areas of your life that if you'll stop, you'll go, how'd I get here? And it's because your human hope is, I have this goal, and I want to reach that goal, and I'll do, if it looks like it's not going to happen, then I'll will it. In other words, I'll make it happen. I'll jockey for position. I will literally lower my standard to accomplish that and to be able to get that. Do you see what I'm saying? You see how that happens? It leads to despair. I'll try everything I can to make this thing take place. Let me break it down to you in a way that maybe you'll understand. Neil Anderson taught me this, and it's helped me more as a pastor in counseling and pastoral care than anything I've ever learned. He said, you have a goal, and if you have a goal and that's what you want to do and somebody blocks it, you get mad. So let me bring it into church life for just a moment, okay? And some of you who've been active in leadership, all that's involved, you're going to get this really quick. Now, I'm going to bring up some things, and you're going to think, is that going on, and Pastor Jeff is hinting to it to somebody? No. Okay, this is not current, not going on. Has it gone on in my past? Oh, very much so. But let's say you come here new, and you want to be on our praise team. All right, that's your goal. I'm going to come, I'm going to get to know Jeff, I'm going to get to know Logan. I mean, I hired Logan. He won't even let me on the praise team. You know what I'm saying? You get it? So let's say that's your goal. Now, is that currently going on? Nothing I know of. Has it gone on in our past? You better bet you it has. They came here with no other goal than to get on that stage. And that's why I want that stage to not be attractive to you. Because we chase things that shine, right? And that's why I'm down here. Life's not on the stage. Don't you pay attention what I can do on the stage. You watch me off the stage. That's where I want you being observant. I remember worship leaders past when we were mobile. Some of you will know this. People came to our church, and what happens sometimes when a new church starts, people from other churches come to that church so they can do in that church what they couldn't do somewhere else. Y'all get that? Those of you who are in leadership, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we had people who didn't help set up, didn't help tear down when we were mobile for almost 9 years. I can remember Michael, if you remember Michael. Michael would be loading stuff into the trailer and people would be following him just singing to him. I mean, just singing to him. I'm like, if you're going to follow him, at least pick up a table. You know what I'm saying? Or get a chair or two. Help us out here a little bit, you know? Then you can sing to him. But they would follow him literally to the trailer, singing to him, hoping he would listen. And because their goal, I've actually had people bargain with me, literally, meet with me and say, it's between your church and another church. And if you promise that we're on the praise team, we'll join your church. Now, y'all know me. Y'all know what I said? Ain't going to happen, Brian. Thank you. You think people don't negotiate like that. How many of you have been in church leadership? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And let's say you want to be on the praise team, and you can't carry a tune in a bucket. And you think we're blocking your goal. Do you like me or do you not like me? You don't like me. Why do you not like me? Because you think I'm blocking your goal. That's human hope. That is a picture of human hope. You want to be in leadership. You start meeting with the preacher, meeting with the staff, getting to know us, buddy up, all that kind of stuff. Don't think we don't pay attention to this. Listen clearly. This is not my first rodeo, okay? And I can tell if you love me, you want to be whatever. I can tell if you're buddying up, wanting to be put into leadership. And if you think I'm blocking your goal toward that, do you like me? Do you not like me? You don't like me. Denny, is that true? You all right? You all right, Denny? All right, making sure you're here. Kidding with you, Denny. You don't like me. Why? Because you feel like I'm blocking your goal. Let's say you're going to work, run a little late. And you're going, and isn't it the truth? This is God's humor on our life, that he has a man on a tractor with a round bale of hay pull out in front of you. Huh? Isn't that right? Man, every time, right? Lord just testing you. You already late? Why do you not like them? Why, they're blocking your goal. What's your goal? To get there. We get mad just even driving. We get mad. That's human hope. I mean, I said this a million times. My son lives in the middle of Lexington. When I say the middle of Lexington, I mean right as downtown as you can get. And I'm going, what did I do to raise this boy so wrong, you know? And Lexington is considered a small town. And I told Julie yesterday, why does anybody want to live here? I mean, if you think you can go to Lexington and not get behind some kind of traffic, usually before I leave, I pull up the maps on my app. I just look for the red lines. Where are the red lines? Because there's red lines all over the place. Everybody runs a red light in Lexington. Everybody does. And I'm going, who would want to live here? Who would want to live here? And my point is, it just seems like that whole town block, I'm going, why does everybody else decide to go where I want to go at the same time? You know, but why do we get angry? We get angry because we have goals, whether it's in traffic. I mean, our goal is thinking we can go through Lexington and not be involved in any traffic, right? Is that going to happen? Not unless it's about 3 or 4 in the morning. Yeah, do you see, we have human hope, and it leads to discouragement, and it leads to irrational behavior. It leads to doing, well, if it's not going to happen, I'm going to make it happen. I'll will it and let it happen. And it leads to despair. It degrades your character. How does it do that? Because it'll get you to doing things that you would normally not do to achieve your goal. And that's what happens. We have goals, they get blocked. We get mad, we get disappointed, it leads to despair, it leads to discouragement, it leads to all those things. Let me give you a point here that I want you to see. Proverbs 13:12 says this. It said, delayed hope makes the heart sick, but fulfilled desire is a tree of life. Delayed hope is the same thing as a human hope. It's the same thing as a disappointing hope. If you put it off and you do it on your own and all those kind of things. Let's just get down to where we live for a moment. I have people say, and they have themselves defined. I've heard it. I've counseled it. I've pastored it. They're defined. This is who I am. This is my life. I've got it planned out. That's what I want. This is how I want it to happen. And so we connect with Jesus, thinking that Jesus is going to be that hope giver for our goals. That happens a lot. Let me tell you this. Whenever you surrender to Jesus, you don't stay where you are. He knocks on your door and goes, let's move. You don't invite Jesus in to who you are and where you are, thinking you're going to stay who you are and where you are. A shepherd doesn't lead from behind driving the flock. A shepherd leads ahead. And he is our good shepherd. And the picture is he's ahead of us, calling us where he is. If you're going through difficult times, tribulation and suffering, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, he's moving you. He's knocking on the door going, let's move. And the person who comes out of the end of that tribulation and suffering is going to be completely different, absolutely different. It's designed for that. That's why our hope is in Christ for the now, and our hope is in Christ absolutely for the not yet. And we even grieve. I'm going to speak into my life. We grieve, but we grieve with hope. We grieve with hope. For example, Tom's passing. In August of 2017, asked the Eaton family if we got angry. And please don't cast judgment on us because we're going to say yes. Yeah, we got angry. Absolutely angry. Is that normal? If you know the stages of grief, some of them are a listing of 5, some of them are a listing of 7. And you bounce around all in there. And some of you could come up to me and you could say, hey, Jeffro, I think you and your family ought to be over Tom's death. It's just two and a half years. You can say that if you want to. You'll get a really stern look from me in return. And I want you to know we still grieve Tom's death, but we grieve with hope. Now explain that to me, Pastor. Okay, I will. I know that my hope in Christ is Tom's life and death was not in vain. Okay, I'm not talking about just his death. His life and his death is not in vain. Every Christian who dies, their life and death is not in vain. It is producing something in the kingdom of God. It's going to be used. So do we grieve? Yes, we grieve. Do I miss him? Yes, we miss him. But we grieve with hope. Where is my hope? Human hope? No. My hope is in Christ, both for the now and the not yet. Both for the now and the not yet. So I grieve with hope, knowing his life and death, that God's going to use it. Knowing that my life and death, God's going to use it. Knowing that your life and death, that God is going to use it. That's how we grieve with hope. It's not in vain. Like, there's a saying that the blood of the martyrs, the Christians being killed in Syria and in China and in the Middle East, it says the blood of the martyrs becomes the seed of the church. Now, the cornerstone is Christ himself. But why? Because those Christian deaths are not in vain. They are not in vain. Life or death is not in vain. That's how we grieve with no hope. If you've ever done Sunday school, in churches you came from, adult Sunday school or even young adult, there's a Sunday school writer named Herschel Hobbs. And I remember one of his statements years ago that came to me. And when I say about delayed hope, it has to do with that because if you got human hope, it's going to lead to a sick heart is really what that means, a delayed hope. But Herschel Hobbs had a comment about hell, and I want to speak about that for just a moment. Jesus was asked about hell. He pointed to Gehenna. Gehenna was a garbage dump outside the walls of Jerusalem. It was perpetually on fire. There'd be sparks. It's kind of like when you burn leaves and there's still some embers there and you pour more leaves on them and then it flames up again. Well, that's where they would dump their garbage, so it kept a perpetual flame. For those who worship a demonic god named Moloch, and you'll still see the name Moloch scribed in graffiti throughout our nation and throughout the world. They would go and literally sacrifice their babies to the god of Moloch at Gehenna and just throw them in the trash as an offering to the demon Moloch. But in that, he was asked, what is hell? He said, hell's like that. And we could talk about the torture of hell, the permanence of hell, the place of hell. We can talk about it's just going to be a place of isolation. There's a lot of things we can say about it being a place. Herschel Hobbs said this, and I want to get it with delayed hope here. He said, hell is truth found out too late. Now think about that for a moment. I know hell's a place, but I want you to hear the concept of hell is truth found out too late. Folks, let me tell you something. You're here today. I don't know where you come from. Don't know what's going on in your life. I just want to tell you, if you die and you wake up in hell, in the words of a great preacher, E.V. Hill, hell has no exits. You can't turn around and back out of it. It's truth found out too late. If you wake up in hell, you're going to say, I didn't plan on being here. I hope I never meet anybody who does plan to be there. But hell is truth that is found out too late. It becomes a delayed hope. And I'm going to tell you something. If you wake up in hell, I promise you, your heart's going to be sick. A delayed hope makes the heart sick. Truth found out too late. We've got to, listen, the church is not a game. Following Christ is not a game. It's a serious business. Some of you are living life now, making bad choices, and later on you're going, how'd I get here? Some of you are going to continue to reject Christ. You're going to wake up in hell going, how did I get here? And when you wake up in hell and ask the question, how did I get here? You won't be leaving. It is that important that you understand. Now, a delayed hope makes the heart sick, but a fulfilled desire in the Lord, you become a tree of life. Let me look at it with 1 Peter 1:3-9, and let me put it together, and I'm going to give you the good news, okay? I gave you some bad news. Let me give you the good news. Here's the good news. Let's walk through this. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, born again, into a living hope. Say living hope with me. My hope is alive because Christ is alive. And it says through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are other belief systems in our world. They're there. Turn it back to that other one, Miles, if you will. There are other belief systems. Miles wanting to get out early, aren't you, Miles? You just keep hurrying me up right on the next one. So there are all kinds of belief systems, and they even have literature. They even have teachings and books that are a part of their central belief system. This is one place right here that separates us from every other belief system in the world. Because the central figure of all the other belief systems have not had them raised from the dead. The resurrection of Christ from the dead means my hope is alive. My hope is for the now, and my hope is for the not yet. He is a living hope. It's still possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Miles, go to verse 4. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept for you in heaven. You go on a trip, you make reservations, you like it when it all works out, right? Have you ever gone somewhere and you not have reservations? I just want to get really plain. There's people who are thinking they're going to get to heaven because they're civic-minded, they're Rotary Club, Lions Club, they do the haunted house, they show their car at the car show on Main Street, they've eaten the funnel cake at the Burgoo Festival, and praise God, they've even made it from eating the Burgoo, you know? And they think they're going to get to heaven that way, and they're going to get to heaven and realize there's not a reservation for them. Truth found out too late. You need to know your faith and surrender in Christ and your trust in Christ. There is a reservation for all of us, and nothing on this earth can take it away. Look, it is kept for you in heaven. Then look at the next verse. You are being protected by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in that last time, the not yet. The not yet. Verse 6. You rejoice in this. Though now for a short time, you've had to struggle in various trials. Peter's talking about suffering, difficulty. Verse 7, so that the genuineness of your faith, this is who we are, this is what going through tough times does for us, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor, and revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, you love him, though you have not seen him, and though not seeing him now, there's the now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, even for the not yet. Verse 9, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I just want you to know that you can have hope in the Lord to get through whatever you're going through him now. And you can have hope in the Lord of what he's going to be able to give you when it comes to the not yet. Look at Psalm 22:5. Yet they cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and they were not disgraced. They were not disappointed. They were not put to shame. Look at Psalm 25:3. No one who waits for you will be disgraced or put to shame. Those who act treacherously without cause will be put to shame and will be disappointed. Back in Romans 5:5, where we started, this hope that doesn't disappoint does two things. One of it is we have it because God pours his love for us into our hearts. And not only does he pour his love into us, but he does it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours his love in all of us. Look at Romans 8:16 and 17. Now, I hadn't preached a little bit. I'm going to preach right here, okay? This is glorious. This is gospel. This is good news. I want you to receive it. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Seeing that we, see that word, suffer? See that we suffer with him so that we may be able to be glorified with him. Guys, here's some great news. whatever God is going to give the Son, He's going to give it to you. If Jesus gets two scoops of ice cream, I do too. Now, I would even settle if he got two and I got one. I'd settle for that. But I want you to hear the good news. Everything he's going to give Jesus, he is going to give you. We are co-heirs with Christ. He considers us on an equality with him. That's his thinking, not ours. But when he adopts you into the family, it says that we become a co-heir with Christ. I would trade this life to get things that are under Christ. But he said, you don't even have to settle for that. You are going, what I give the Son, I'm going to also be able to give you. I don't know about you, but inside there's a strong hallelujah there. And my hope, if you're discipling people and they're maturing in Christ, one reason you can test their maturity is, where's your hope? It could be in human hope, goals, and goals get blocked and I get mad. It could be a lot of things. But our hope is in Christ, and it's a living hope, and our hope in him will never disappoint. I want you to go to 2 Timothy 1:12 as we close. 2 Timothy 1:12. I love this verse, because it seems like Paul gets on a roll. Here's what I mean. Y'all know those preachers, they get the, I want to tell you about the Lord. And they get on that crescendo, you know, they get on that roll, start singing, you know. I feel that in this verse. I'm going to read it to you, and then I want us to say it together. And that is why I suffer. And verse 11 means he suffers because he's an apostle, because he's a preacher, because he's a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But look at this. This is beautiful. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. I'm standing in the hope in Christ now, and I'm standing in the hope of Christ for the not yet. Thinking on things eternal. Church, let's declare this today. Let's say this together. Say it with me. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to guard against what has been entrusted to me until that day. Our invitation is for you to come to a point of surrender today. He's knocking on your door. He's saying, let's move. He's always calling us to where he is, always. That never stops. Some of you say, I'm a different preacher since Tom died. How could I not be? How could I not be? The man I was 2.5 years ago, I hope I'm not that man anymore. It's just a constant progression of growing in him. And difficult times do that if your hope is in Christ. So our hope is in Christ for the now. Our hope is in Christ for the not yet. How can that be? Let me tell you something, folks. He has beat death. He has beat the grave. Hell can't stand against him. He's unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable. And I'm putting my hope, my faith, and my trust in that man named Jesus for the now and for the promises of the not yet. So we ask for you to surrender to him today. There'll be people here in the altar who'll minister to you, with you, for you. You can come and pray. You got burdens, you got things going on. You can pray with these people, or you can choose not to. We offer communion. If you're a believer, we offer you to come. Even if you're a guest, we offer you to come. The bread represents his body given, the drink his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. It's a practice of communion called intinction. Before you consume it, remember his sacrifice. And maybe add this: you're my living hope. We sang that today. Already, and I'm asking Logan to repeat it and sing it again during our invitation. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand where you are? Counselors, would you find your place, if you will? Logan's going to lead us. You come.